This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin the Thursday edition of VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, here at Circus Sports. Our closer's on the road, Jensen Lewis, Omaha. Omaha, baby. How is Omaha, Nebraska, as we get ready for the College World Series?
The calm before the storm, my friend. We are just about a block and a half here from TD Ameritrade Ballpark, home of the Men's College World Series, and Rocco's Caddy Corner to us, where you will see money moves and follow the money. Later this afternoon, I'll jump on with Mitch and Pauly right around 4 o'clock Central Time. I am sure the atmosphere will be very ripe, ready for people to kick the tires and light the fires before everything gets underway tomorrow. So excited to be here. Judging by the text thread, I'm told that our Circus Sports traveling party, I'm sure our VSiN party, was well into the early hours of the morning. We shall see if the professional himself, Mike Palm, joins us later this morning. But I told them, and this was part of, this is why in a Lewis Ross administration, we get things done.
That's right.
So we get to the room, we be responsible. I've been on the road for 3 weeks. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sleep. I got all day today. I got all day on Friday. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. But we're off and rolling.
I gotta tell you, you're a 10 out of 10. You're ripe as the mail here in the morning to get this start, this day started here on VSiN by the Books. Because I was like, uh-oh, are they gonna get Jensen out too late on night number one? No, you are a pro. You know how to close. You know how to open. And that's how we're doing things the right way here at VSiN by the Books. We'll see you about 24 hours from now. The rest of the crew and everybody is holding up. But you're right. We got a great show lined up today. Thomas Gable is going to join us here in hour number two. Cannot wait to get Thomas's perspective by the books, as we like to say, for the U.S. Open, which is underway, by the way. And we do have one player already in the red. That's Zach Blair with a birdie on one. So cancel the tournament. It's too easy. We'll see how those tickets are looking here for Thomas Gable and company for the U.S. Open. Mike Palm, you mentioned it there in Omaha. That does not mean that Mike, being the pro that he is going to skip out on Palm's pressing three. I have a feeling there might be some Omaha questions in there for you, Jensen. Colby Marcio is going to join us. Love to catch up with Colby about his getaway day, a Major League Baseball best bet. So he'll join us at the beginning of hour number three. And yes, there is a game four tonight down in Sunrise, Florida. Rachel Dory is going to be here to break it all down here as we get ready to see if Edmonton can even up this series at two games apiece. But Jensen, without further ado, let's get to it. Our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
I don't know if it was the influence of Wes Reynolds being in attendance for Indiana yesterday, but I did end up being on the right side of this one, had the 5.5, didn't need him. It was the bench play of Indiana that just outscored OKC 49-18. I say again, the bench of the Pacers, 49-18 over OKC. And they now have a 2-1 lead here in the NBA Finals. Jensen, you and I talked about it before the series began. 116-107, the final here. It does stay under that total, by the way, 226. It looked like a dead over for the majority of the game. So the underbackers, even though it closed 226, it still gets home there. But again, if you had the 5.5 and or the money line plus $1.85, cash all those tickets. Jensen, you and I sat here before game one, and I said, I have a feeling a lot of people are misreading this series and that this is going to be a much deeper series and that Indiana is going to give them all they can handle. If you're an OKC backer today, you know, we don't want to push the panic button, but you got to push a button, right? Like, you're down 2-1, and right now Indiana has got home court advantage, and if they get bench play like that last night, we might have, for some, a shock of shocks.
No, not just that. It would be an earthquake because if you get the likes of a Benedict Mathurin outscoring SGA, then we have the apocalypse upon us. I don't know what would be more of a sign here, that someone wins the U.S. Open this weekend with like 10 under par, or Benedict Mathurin ends up being the leading scorer in a handful of these NBA Finals games moving forward. Now, he was last night. I mean, this line is insane, right? Gets to the free throw line, 7 of 8, couple of big three-pointers. 27 points. Dave, I think I saw this morning as I was playing a little bit of the highlights back. I think he was 70-1, Benedict Mathurin, to have 25 or more points in some books.
Wow.
Like, and just again, you're not thinking of that actively. Like, no person in their right mind is saying, oh yeah, let me go ahead and put, you know, $25 on Benedict Mathurin to score 25 or more.
Right.
But again, it's to your idea of this club continues to defy what the outside world believes. And I think watching the end of that game last night, especially in the half court, you could tell there's a little tension. There's a little frustration there with OKC, because it's kind of where I talked to you between game two and game three of, did OKC figure out how to limit Tyrese Halliburton? And, you know, to a certain extent, yes, but to a certain extent, no.
Right.
And it's the supporting cast, right? The supporting cast for Indiana has matched or exceeded Oklahoma City here in these couple of wins that the Pacers have had.
Yeah, you mentioned it. It was, you know, SGA did what he did, but it wasn't a typical, right? It was 24 points for SGA. So 9 of 20 shooting. It's not terrible. It's not great. But when you're the MVP, you kind of maybe expect a little bit more. You mentioned Halliburton. You get 22 from Halliburton there, 9 of 17 shooting. So his player prop goes over, by the way, which was something I was looking at last night. And he did not get that triple-double, but very, very close with the 9 rebounds and the 11 assists. So you get that well-rounded game from a Tyrese Halliburton here. And again, maybe you're going to need a little bit more. And look at a guy like Aaron Wiggins, who is massive in game two, scoreless in game three, right? Alex Caruso had 20 in game two. He had 8 in game three. So all of a sudden you get Mathurin going off like he did. And that kind of negates the advantage, the perceived advantage of that bench that OKC had had, not last night. And look, all I was saying before the series began is I felt like it was vastly mispriced. Do I think Oklahoma City should potentially still win this? Absolutely. They still feel like the slightly better team. But, Jensen, you know how this is, too. I'm sure that Milwaukee felt that way. I'm sure Boston felt that way. You know, I'm sure against the Knicks. I'm sure the Knicks felt that way against Indiana. And we've seen these massive comebacks that Indiana has had throughout the postseason as well. And I start to go, like, you give away that game one the way you did. Ask the Knicks about that. With Indiana. Again, I asked the Celtics about that with the Knicks, why those teams are no longer around. You give those games away, they're hard to get back, man. So all of a sudden, if you want to play those OKC in 6 or 7, those are your last two options. The 4 and 5s are already off the board. So I'd be a little bit leery. That game 4 now in Indiana, massive for OKC to regain a home court advantage. So home ice advantage right now is with the Florida Panthers. That game 4 is going to be tonight. But there's another team north of the border that is worthy of our attention today. It's the Blue Jays. How about this? They've won 13 of their last 16. They sweep away St. Louis 5-2 on the ROAD. Pretty impressive. So again, all of a sudden, they got a 2-game lead in the wild card. They're just 4 back of the Bronx Bombers. Jensen, kind of like Indiana a little bit. Maybe we're not paying enough attention right now to Toronto. Again, nice stretch or something that maybe the Yankees should readjust that rearview mirror.
Yeah, and again, a discussion about not only Toronto and Tampa Bay as two teams that maybe quietly have put together some really good runs. I mean, you think about, first and foremost, Toronto now 8 games over 500. We talked about this a lot. Once you get to a week over 500, mm-hmm. Now you can kind of hit the accelerator. Now you get a little afterburner, tailwind feel of, okay, we've got things going in the right direction. We're doing a great job in all facets of our game. Most importantly here, Dave, they're now back into the positive in the run differential. And that's always a great litmus test of, okay, is this team Fugazi or is this team for real? Mm-hmm. And so there are times where you could have a team that might be right at 500, but a great run differential. And that should give you an idea of, okay, well, you know, maybe some bad luck for them in close games just hasn't gone their way. But now just kind of looking at run differential overall, I mean, this is a Tampa Bay team. We talked about it, plus 47. Toronto now plus 4. The Red Sox are 2 games under 500. They're still plus 18. So, yes, the Yankees certainly cannot rest on their laurels. But I think the conversation goes back to something you and I have talked about the last couple of weeks, is that we look at this Blue Jay lineup. And right now, the top 4, maybe the top 5, are in a spot where you're like, okay, I'll go to battle with those guys. What can you get from the back end consistently? And I think if they can find a bat, maybe 2, plenty of pitching that we've seen, right? That get reinforcements. Max Scherzer's coming back here soon. Mm. Back into their bullpen has been figured out. So not a bad idea. I can't believe I'm mentioning this again with you, buddy, when we looked at best regular season records and the Flyers Ooh. Were the Blue Jays, you know, at, I think, 251, the Rays at 400-1. So here we are, Beast of the East starting to look like it again.
Fascinating that, again, I don't know that the Yankees are necessarily in danger because they're still playing a really good baseball as well. They're 16 games over 500. It's just these other two teams, as you mentioned, Toronto and Tampa Bay, starting to get a little bit of the attention here. And even the Red Sox, to a degree, back to two games under 500, starting to play a little bit better baseball. Maybe the rest, even the Orioles, that terrible start that they've had, they're playing better baseball. So it feels like the rest of the division starting to get their sea legs a little bit. We'll find out for some if it's a little bit too little too late, but a great run here north of the border for Toronto. Okay, we are underway. The United States Open, Jensen, is underway here at Oakmont. And if you've just been able to watch a little bit of the coverage here early, none of the big names are out yet. I mentioned Zach Blair is under par, one under through one. So he's like, what are you guys talking about? This course is easy. We are already seeing how penal this thing's going to be if you miss the fairways, Jensen, and you get this thing in the – it's all that was advertised leading up to this.
Wow.
And I watched the USGA press conference yesterday. And they said it. They go, you know, normally you have a nice, easy first hole to get you. Wait. They go, we punch you in the face. That's the USGA governing body telling you, man, there is no let up in this golf course. It's going to be fascinating. We'll update these odds as the show goes on. Going to be a lot of fun. All right, when we come back, let's talk about game four tonight between Edmonton and Florida. Will we get an equalizer there? That is next here, VSiN by the Books.
Right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you on this Thursday edition. Jensen out there in Omaha, Nebraska. Our whole crew is out there at VSiN. It's going to be a lot of fun. Up and down our coverage today across the network here. And Jensen, right now, as we mentioned, the U.S. Open is going on here at Oakmont. And the early tee time there was Matt Voigt. I hope I don't get the amateur's name incorrect here, Jensen. But it's a great story because he's a dentist. He has a normal job. He's an amateur. He's not getting paid for this. And he qualified for the U.S. Open. You and I were talking about it. And they were asking him, like, what's this going to be like? He's like, it's great because the guys are going to cover for me. You know, like the other dentists are going to chip in so Matt can go play the U.S. Open and be, first tee to begin the day. And by the way, par is the first hole. Like, who's not rooting for the dentist today to go out there and have as a good a day as the amateur can have? But these are the cool stories you get at a U.S. Open.
Just seeing the names, too, and guys that are able to be in this tournament, like that in of itself, I'm thinking in my head of, hey guys, you know, I've got like two fillings today and maybe a crown. I'm not going to be like, I'll pick you up on, next week.
I'll get you coffee.
Like, you guys mind?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, like what's that phone call like to his wife this morning? He's like, you know, I mean, I would have to believe that his wife knows. And if she's out with friends, like, hey, you know, where's your husband? I didn't see him in the office today. Oh, he's just on like, I think he's on 11, you know, at Oakmont. Yeah.
He'll be the U.S.
later,
Open.
A little bit later.
It's so cool. And again, it's funny to see that he qualified just like Cameron Young did, just like Mark Leishman did, like professional golfers did and had to qualify. Everybody's got the opportunity to do it. That's why we love this championship so much. We'll keep you updated. But again, only one guy. There is one guy early on that's under par here, just through one hole. But Zach Blair did birdie the first. So we do have somebody at least in red numbers. We'll see if that lasts and how long that might possibly last. We're wondering how long the Stanley Cup Finals are going to last. I think we all thought this was locking in for 6-7 games. Maybe we still get there, Jensen, but it does feel like tonight down there in Sunrise, Florida, it's got to look different, clearly, if you're Edmonton, and you've got to figure out a way. We've talked a lot about it on the network here, too, about the slow ice that they have with the humidity in Sunrise and that Edmonton, it's fast. It's some of the best ice, if you will, and the fastest ice out there. It's going to really advantage skill players. And we're not saying Ford is unskilled and that they want to muck it up. But it does feel like the conditions are more advantageous to the Panthers here. Big dogs here for Edmonton now, plus $1.31. You want to play Ford on the puck line, you can at plus $1.67. That total sitting there at 6.5. And again, it's gone over every single game so far in the series. I kind of feel like, Jensen, we might finally get one of those nip-tuck, let's not take the dumb penalties that we took, let's not give up those, you know, those four-on-five opportunities, and maybe we get one that's closer to the vest tonight?
I think so. Great reference. Speaking of doctors, Christian Troy, nip-tuck, maybe one of the all-timers. what would Dr. Troy say about this matchup? Well, there's a little bit of window dressing here, you know, for Florida early is okay. Maybe the illusion that Edmonton could stay in this one, but I don't think they're going to play around whatsoever. I do think we get a little tightening between the pipes here. Yes, game four. If you are a believer that the Stewart Skinner trend continues, then that's certainly a way to go. But I honestly, you know, I still look at that puck line again. No plays just yet. I am going to wait a little bit later today. And by the way, fun story for how you have to bet here in Omaha. We are in the state of Nebraska. Iowa is right next door. They have a pedestrian bridge, Dave, that it's probably from our front door here at the hotel to get across the state line. So you get that geolocator log in to be able to legally bet. I want to say it's about an 18-minute walk. So safe to say I'll be getting my steps in today to be able to do that.
So do you think people there in Omaha, Jensen, just like your daily cup of coffee, you make your stroll across the state line, put in your wagers, and then that's how you start your day?
That's exactly how I was thinking, because I was trying to draw it out. I'm like, all right, you know, if I'm with the group at Rocco's and all of a sudden, you know, I check, VSiN.com, I look at the betting slits, and I'm like, oh God, something just popped here.
I got to move.
I got to at least, you know, 20 minutes to be able to get over there, be able to lock it in, and then be able to make my way back. So part of the, you think that just handicapping is just looking at the numbers. It's about walk time. It's about state borders. Yeah. I mean, we're in a great spot to get some pictures and some videos. Like, here's where you can stand and legally bet. While we're staying in Nebraska, we got to come across to Iowa, Field of Dreams, to be able to go back and win us some money.
I'm sure JVT and Stormy are going to be like, boy, Jensen, he's just really getting his exercise in. Look at that guy. He's always walking back and forth. It's amazing. Yeah. By the way, we did get a great nugget on this game from our own Jonathan Davis, of course. And he said to us, Jensen, here that, you know, McDavid was held pointless in game three. And how about this for a number? In his last 12 games after being held without a point, he's got 6 goals and 21 points, 7 multi-point games, and only once did he have back-to-back playoff games without a point. Once. That's it. So, look, it's a simple Connor's got to be Connor in order for Edmonton to really have a shot tonight. If you want to play those player props for Connor McDavid, I'm not going to be mad at you because – I think Jonathan Davis just laid it out there perfectly. The numbers historically are going to bear it out. It's kind of like what we talked about with Halliburton and why if you played his over props last night, you cashed those tickets. Not to say that they're automatically going to hit, but the point is the players themselves know who has to be more involved in order for your team to have ultimate success. It's not selfish. It's I have to be the best player on the ice tonight because I'm the best player in the world.
Yeah. And again, speaking of, and that's why I wanted to bring up the Stuart Skinner angle again here. And then, of course, the great Jonathan Davis. How about these numbers, too? Last six games, or last six game fours of a series. He's undefeated, okay? 6-0. Two of those wins, shutouts. One goal or less, 4 times. 2 goals or fewer, 5 times. Here's, and again, just food for thought here, because I think you and I are in agreement. We feel this is a game 7 mentality for Edmonton, knowing they don't want to go back to their home barn down 3-1. An idea for you. Okay, if the Stewart Skinner trends continue, do you even entertain the down ladder, if you will? Instead of laddering up, we ladder down here. The Panthers team total, under 2.5, under 1.5, under 1.5.
Wow.
Is there a world we live in where Stuart Skinner shuts out the Panthers tonight? Again, it's just we give you the information, we give you the ideas. These are the numbers. And it bears repeating, Dave, Skinner feels completely different once we get to this point in these postseason series. So, again, another way to attack it if you're an Edmonton backer, if you feel that this is the way. And, again, here's the other beauty of it. Let's say that you don't want anything to do with Edmonton money line. If you get a Florida, 2-1 win, that's still you're under 2.5 and you're under 1.5.
Sure.
For the Panthers team total. So just another way to kind of look at it if you don't have a good feel on the total or anything else.
And when we talk to Rachel in hour three, I can't wait to pick her brain about this as well, because my vantage point is you didn't help out the guy any at all, Stuart Skinner, right? So it's easy for us to dump on Skinner, but your numbers, JD's numbers, are going to bear it out there how good he's been as these series have gotten longer. And I have to think that Chris Knobloch and company are saying, hey, that's not all on our guy between the pipes here. That's on us up front. We got to do our jobs up front. We didn't do that. And nobody helped him out, and that's why we had to pull him late in that one with everybody with record time in the sin bin last time out. So let's avoid that. Let's play 5-on-5 with that slower ice. Maybe there's less scoring opportunities. So if we don't give them those scoring opportunities, Stuart Skinner can be all that you've mentioned that he's been, certainly in the past. By the way, right now, if you are not checking out the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals, what are you waiting for? Because we got a great deal over with our friends at ProfitX. So as we wind down the Cup Final and the NBA Finals, check out ProfitX. It's a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40 or more states, first of its kind in the United States. You're going to be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against the books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. Even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your very first month. So once again, use that promo code VSIN. As I look up at the United States Open, did JJ Spahn just get a birdie on one? Is the course playing too easy? Do we actually have people under par? Jensen Lewis, what's going on? I can't wait for everybody to go, wait a minute, I thought we're getting carnage. It looks beautiful right now. All right, sun's out.
Yeah.
We're top of the morning there at Oakmont. And J.J. Spahn, by the way, was in a playoff in the Players' Championship with Rory McIlroy this year. So off to a good start for J.J. Some of the bigger names, Jensen, are going to start to be teeing off here pretty soon. And I think we just had a hole out. So maybe some craziness going on early at Oakmont, but not enough to change any of the big numbers that we have on the board. Of course, Scottie Scheffler, far and away the betting favorite to win this week at Oakmont. All right, when we come back, you're there in Omaha, but you still have some great numbers in Major League Baseball as well. We'll get to it. Our edition of the Daily Diamond is next.
By the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books, on this Thursday edition. Dave Ross here at Circus Sports. He is Jensen Lewis in Omaha, Nebraska, getting ready for the College World Series. Cannot wait for this weekend and all the sights and sounds that you're going to have there. Right now at Oakmont at the United States Open, we said that we had a hole out on the first hole. That's a par four, people. Maxwell Moldovan just made an eagle on one, hold out on one, and Danny and our crack staff doing a great job. Ohio State guy here, Jensen. So
wow.
He's
okay.
2-under through one. If the tournament ended now, Maxwell Moldovan would be your United States Open champion. By the way, the big Swede, Ludwig Goldberg, we always like to keep an eye on him, too. We know the talent he has. He has just stuck the green on one, so he's going to have a short birdie attempt here. So some of the bigger names starting to get out there on the course. But I didn't even know if we'd see a 2-under at all throughout the day. We have a 2-under through one hole right now. So young Maxwell Moldovan right now is leading the U.S. Open. But we got to not just talk College World Series. How about some Major League Baseball as well? It's time for today's edition of the Daily Diamond. How about those Metropolitans? I'm trying not, like, I thought yesterday, Jensen, all right, I didn't want to play my Mets because David Peterson was overpriced. Nope, not at all. He just went out there and shoved. And it is amazing. We've talked a lot about their pitching staff, how maybe they're maxing out on what they actually have. Or maybe David Peterson is now a front-end guy. Look at the Mets number today against the Nationals here, Jensen. You've got to lay over 250 against the boys from D.C. again. I mean, you know how this is. Sometimes you get in these grooves, whether it's a pitching staff, whether it's just a lineup's down to 240 now. It's a little D.C. money coming in here overnight. But do you want to get in front of the train that is the New York Metropolitans right now?
Yeah, and just kind of bringing up some of their peripheral stats here. I think that getting Juan Soto right, and not that, you know, he was technically ever wrong. It's just the expectations were just astronomically high. So here's who you have going really well right now. Brandon Nimmo, Soto, Alonso, Jeff McNeil, and yes, they're all hitting back to back to back to back. So the offense has really now started creating some length, and it's an advantageous time here, Dave, because here's the upcoming schedule. They'll finish that series with the Nationals today, Kodai Senga, Michael Soroka. Then sort of a showdown series the way that the Rays are playing. Rays come to Citi Field. That'll be a good series. And then we get to the gauntlet of the National League East. You got to go to Atlanta. You got to go to Philadelphia. So could not be, you know, getting hotter at a better time, just knowing, Dave, what the next 10 to 14 days looks like for the Mets.
Kodai Senga is going to be on the bump today against Michael Soroka. So right now it's 251 at DraftKings, 240 at Circa. If you want to play the Mets on the run line, you still have to lay a little bit. How about that? Minus $1.17 if you want to do that. I know that Jensen sometimes in situations like this, where if you like the Mets, you might play them not to bat in the ninth inning. Might be a different way to play that if you want to go that route here with the Metropolitans. But yeah, right now this team has been such a surprise without their full complement of starters. They're looking really good. Rangers, I wonder if they're starting to slowly wake up a little bit. It hadn't been exactly the prettiest run here to begin the year. They're going to be going up against Bailey Ober and the Twins. Patrick Corbin is going to be out there. I know normally it's a fade Patrick Corbin thing, but I wonder if that still rings true. Right now, you can get plus $1.38. You're seeing it up to $1.43 on Circa if you want to back the Rangers. What do you make of them in this spot? Do you trust Patrick Corbin?
I do like the over 8.5 in this game. That'll be an official play for me here coming out for VSiN Pro subscribers. I do like Adolis Garcia to get a hit today. I believe you can get that at $1.30 on DraftKings, which again, rare to see those kinds of prices and the opportunities to attack that way. Jonah Heim has struggled a little bit, but a guy that might match up pretty well here against Bailey Ober. So just some offensive guys to look at here. But I think overall, it's both these pitchers, they've had tendencies to have some blowups at times. But I think just again, when you look at the day game here and where conditions could be, over 8.5, official play for me. I do like some scoring here between both these clubs.
All right, by the way, just interrupt this baseball talk to mention that Bryson DeChambeau has now teed off and begun his defense of the United States Open, so we'll keep you updated on that's not Big Bryson. It looked like Big Bryson. I can't see in the glare, so maybe not Bryson just yet, but it was Bryson, and Bryson is in the rough. I was going to say, if that's not Bryson, that's a body double of Bryson DeChambeau. It is Bryson, and he's a little bit wayward here on his first shot to defend his United States Open crown. I go to bed last night, and the Giants are behind. I wake up, and the Giants won again in Colorado. So the Rockies back to doing Rocky things here after that sweep to begin the year against Miami, or begin the month against Miami, and now not so good. Do we want to lay it again with the G-men? Is this another one of those situations where when you play the Rockies, you just lick your chops?
I think you look at just kind of where the numbers are here. You know, I this will probably be a stay away spot initially. But when you think about two, where, you know, overall, it's just been a good idea at any point if you get a live opportunity. Like, let's say that Colorado, you know, has an early lead, you could jump back in potentially at a far better price on the Giants or even at a plus price. We look at total You know, 10 and a half, does that feel, you hesitate to use giant trap yet again, but that's Hayden Birdsong and Antonio Senzatella. And if anyone has thrown the ball a little bit better, it's been Hayden Birdsong here for the San Francisco Giants. So overall splits wise, Dave, you're looking at 39% of the bets, 51% of the money. So potentially a little bit of sharps there. On the over 10 and a half. No official play yet. I'll see on my morning walk if any of that money changes by the time I get into a legal jurisdiction in the state of Iowa. But yeah, right now, no play for me in that one.
I love it though, because you and I just don't get live action like this during our show because of the hours that we do. Ludwig Oberg, birdie on one. Big Swedes off and running. So we'll keep you updated there. Tigers, you got Scooble on the bump here against the Orioles. I mentioned the Orioles starting to play a little bit better baseball here. Does that feel like you're getting a depressed price with Scooble on the road at $1.80? Because normally I would think if you flip this and played this there at in Detroit, you might be looking over a $2 price tag here. Is there a little bit more respect in the marketplace here all of a sudden for the Bird Gang?
There might be. The under is the play here for me. Another official play I'll be locking in here pretty soon. When you think about also, too, where Dean Kramer has been in just the Orioles overall, yes, they have played better. But I do feel, again, this is just more on the dominance of Tarik Skubal, right? The ability to limit really anything that Baltimore can do. Specifically, you're thinking of the left-handed hitters, Gunnar Henderson, Ryan O'Hearn. You know, maybe a platoon to start here, at least for the starting lineup, and then changes out there. So under eight would be an official play for me. Checking DraftKings now, actually you can get a pretty decent price here at -$1.02 on that one. So that would be my recommendation. Get to lock that in here for VSiN Pro subscribers. But again, this is a historic dominant run for Tarik Skubal. I don't see the Baltimore Orioles being the one that ends or puts the crooked number on him. So could certainly see a 4-2 Tigers win tonight without batting an eye.
Yankees are just destroying my Royals. The Royals have now fallen back to 500 here. And I know it's a lot of baseball, so I shouldn't panic yet for that over ticket of 81.5. But here we are sitting right at that number. And now they're going to try to avoid a sweep here at the hands of the Yanks. Will Warren's going to be on the bump against Seth Lugo. Yankees road favorites again. And Jensen, kind of like I'm talking about with the Metropolitans, some of these other teams, I don't know if I want to get in front of this Yankee train right now.
Not at all. And a lot of people jumping on it as well. 81% of the bets, 67% of the handle on the Yankees money line here. Anxious to see kind of where the run line goes, looking at some of the pricing that we have at the moment. Royals +1.5 is -$1.31, which is that's not a terrible ask here. Yep. But I do wonder just kind of where these numbers end up trending as we get later into the day. Ironically, if you're looking for a total, bets are dead even, Dave. You know I love looking for these spots. Dead even on the total, but 80% of the handle on the over nine.
Wow.
So maybe a way to look there, some more offense. Weather is certainly getting warmer down there, or at least close to here, I should say, in Kansas City. So, yeah, Will Warren. And listen, Will Warren has had a couple of bumpy outings here as of late. So you could see some crooked numbers put up by both these offenses.
Well, we'll finish up on the other side here, the other three games, including somebody making his first major league start when we come back here a little bit. But when we if you want to bet on the ponies, you can still do that because, again, if you haven't tried them out, our friends at First Bet are going to make this really easy for you. So they're going to let you wager on hundreds of horse races each and every day from top tracks across the U.S. and, dare I say, the world. So sign up at firstbet.com. That's firstbet.com, the number first bet. And again, use promo code VSiN200. Claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head over to firstbet.com and do so today. We'll update Major League Baseball and what's going on at the United States Open. That's next year. It's VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. I'm going to have a Thomas Gable. We're going to have Mike Palm join us in hour number two coming up. Talk a lot of U.S. Open. And by the way, right now, Rory McIlroy, we have a developing situation here. And we'll get back to the baseball here in a sec. On the first hole, Rory McIlroy's just teed off. Jensen, he teed off with an iron. That was against the rules. I thought we, right? If we're going to fade Rory, because we're fading him hitting a driver, he teed off with an iron, put it right down the middle of the fairway. Cheeky Rory did not tell us that he would not be hitting driver on one. I wonder if he's, because he cannot hit his driver right now. Jensen, are we going to see him try to Tiger Woods this thing like in the early 2000s when Tiger would hit those stingers and those irons and say, you know what? The only club that gets me in trouble is this big stick. So I wonder if Rory, if he might shock and awe us all of a sudden and not hit as many drivers as we thought.
You're going to laugh. Is his driver even legal to play?
Is it street legal?
Is it legal? Hey, teach their own, man. Yeah. I think that, didn't he say, you know, going out for a practice round, he birdied the last two to get to 81. Yep. Now, whether he was telling the truth or not is fine. I think that's probably more indicative of, I know it keeps me in the middle, or at least gives me the best chance off the tee to keep me in the middle. Why fight it? You know, par. If par is what a lot of guys in the clubhouse are talking about, like you need to be at par, then I think that's where he's going. He's one of the longest hitters, right? It's about being able to place it and hit it cleanly for that second shot. And so I think that's probably his MO, and I'm not mad at him for it.
We'll update the live numbers as they populate here. I will say Bryson DeChambeau, we mentioned he was in trouble, left on one. Incredible. It's what Bryson does these days. Up out of that bad spot and played it short of the green, rolled right on up. He's going to have a birdie look on one. So the reigning defending champion off to a really good start as well in the early going. All right, we mentioned Major League Baseball that we had a pitcher making his debut. And this is Jacob Mizorowski here. He is the Brewers' number one pitching prospect. The Brewers are dogs at home against the Cardinals. Cardinals, of course, coming off a sweep of the hands of the Blue Jays, as we mentioned off the top of the show. Very quickly, a low total here of 7.5, up to 8 at Circa. What, Jensen, what's your advice to Jacob? Like, what do you say to a kid who's coming in with all the hype, number one pitching prospect, now you're getting the ball for the very first time at home against what was a pretty hot team? What would you say to the kid today?
Just be yourself. You're talking about a kid that's had a fastball upwards of 101, 103 miles an hour for a starting pitcher. You know, so he's got plenty in the tank, and you know the adrenaline's going to be going. Dave, for people that haven't seen his mechanics, his motion, I used to hate this because people would say I was herky-jerky, you know, with my mechanics, and I felt about as smooth as glass, and so to each their own on that one. But I think that he's got the dynamic stuff, the power stuff to overwhelm lineups. I always kind of shy away from jumping on these games in which you do have a rookie. Heck, if you had a couple of rookie starters in there, but anxious to see just the talent. You talked about the hype. This kid has had as electric a fastball in the minor leagues as there is in our game. And so can't wait to see triple digits on display today against the Cardinal offense.
That's great advice. And I love the herky-jerky, right, that you're referring to here. We talk about this a lot in the game of golf, of like whatever your swing is, just own your swing. Can you do that in the bigs? Will they let you own your motion? Yeah. Whatever that works for you? Because I know people say, well, that's going to lead to arm trouble or whatever it might be. Like, how do you safeguard against changing mechanics of a kid like you or like Jacob in this case versus, well, we're trying to look out for you long term?
Yeah, the golf analogy, the first thing I think of is Jim Furyk.
Yeah, there right? It is.
You know, and you look at that swing, and you're like, how does this guy, like, get it where it's going?
How does that work?
And a lot of times, Dave, is these mechanical things or these tweaks are done early in the minor league tenure in which they'll identify on film or even more so to draft day where the scouting departments will come in and they'll say, oh, we know how to fix that guy. We love the DNA. We love what God has given him from arm talent or physical stature, things of that nature. And they will, in you know, their own analytics departments or in their biomechanics, all of those places will come together and say, we believe that if we can sell this kid on, you know, maybe an arm path tweak here or maybe a mechanical shift in the lower half, that will allow the arm to travel. Or sometimes you'll hear, say, the arm escort the ball. because you watch guys like Jacob deGrom. I mean, it is just silky. It's silky and it just explodes. Tarek Skubal, to a certain extent, has a little jerkiness to his motion to get started, but then as soon as it just comes out, I mean, it's an absolute harpoon. So, you know, sometimes getting it there, as long as the arm path is clean, then a lot of times organizations will leave guys alone, because that right there is what ends up causing the amount of arm injuries outside of, you know, maybe too much of a workload. So yeah, I think you watch him today. It's just hard to, it's 100 miles an hour. It's hard to pick up for anyone throwing 100, but the way that he lets it go and the arm path that he has, I think is going to create some challenges for the Cardinals today.
Love that evaluation right there from somebody who's been there, done that. Fantastic breakdown there of young Jacob. We'll see how he makes out in his first major league start. We have a new leader at the United States Open. The big Swede, Ludvig Åberg, has gone birdie to begin the U.S. Open. And Ludvig is now 12-1 on the odds board. And he was a riser all of a sudden. Remember, he was like 35-1, and you saw 30-1s, and you saw inside of 20-1s around town here in Vegas. And now he's up to 12-1. I spoke too soon on Bryson. And this is kind of the point of the U.S. Open. Bad tee shot. Unbelievable second shot to the green. Now he's putting for birdie, and too aggressive with the birdie putt, and then misses the comeback. So he bogeys the first hole in defense of his U.S. Open championship. Rory McIlroy, by the way, in good shape, but again, I have to check out that putter here to see how he finishes up on one. Rory McIlroy has gone up to 11-1. These are live odds here, people. We don't get this very often in our show, and certainly not for a major championship, right? So Scotty, who has not teed off, obviously, is still plus 280. Bryson is the second betting choice, but he's drifted a little bit with that opening bogey to 10-1, not terribly. But Rory has moved up just ever so slightly to 11-1. Rahmer hasn't gone 12-1. Ludvig, as I mentioned right now, the outright lead at 2 under par. I'll give you my full card again, and I had some people ask me about first-round leader bets on X, and I appreciate everybody reaching out. I did play Cameron Young at a long number here at 75-1 to be that first-round leader. Xander Schauffele, I did play him at 30-1. He is now, by the way, 20-1 in the live number to win the U.S. Open. He is underway to begin his day out there. And also, I did play a couple tournament matchups that I wanted to talk about briefly here. So my outrights are X-Man at 25-1, Victor 54-1, Brooksy there, who's won this event twice, 95-1. That's more of a price play. His form is not good. Daniel Berger, I think, should have some success out there because he's a grinder, 100-1. I mentioned Cam Young, how well he's playing, 115-1. And Matty Fitz, another former U.S. Open champion, 125-1. Those tournament matchups, Jensen, what I like to do is it's not so much a play on Patrick Reed at even money against Akshay Bhatia or on Justin Rose at plus $1.05. They're play against. I'm playing against Bhatia. I'm playing against Wyndham Clark in those individual matchups. Do you like to do that? Isolate golfers that you think are just going to struggle with the style of course. Those are the reasons why those tournament matchups, I played for Patty Reed and Justin Rose against Bhatia and Wyndham Clark.
Those are certainly for the courses, right? And yep, the guys that we know have, you know, a comfortability, home courses, right? Scotty in Texas, you know, Jordan Spieth sometimes in Texas, Jordan Spieth of the Masters in potential matchups, depending on form. You know, thinking of, you know, it used to be Brooks Koepka, right? In any U.S. Open matchup, just because, you know, he lived for, you know, those certain spots,
right?
You know, I'm trying to think of, you know, Xander, you know, in these kind of iterations, Justin Rose, right? In the Masters, you know, a guy that just sees it well, has always been up there, has always loved, you know, how it plays to his game. So yeah, absolutely. There's certain spots to exploit. No question about it.
Tommy Fleetwood, by the way, bogeyed the first hole. So not a great start for him. Moldovan, the youngster from Ohio State, he did give that one of those shots back already after holing out on one. And I do believe, Jensen, he's a guy from your neck of the woods. Is that correct?
Moldovan, Uniontown, right?
Yeah.
If our esteemed associate producer, Danny Higgins, has the bio there, Buckeye, and again, in the heart of it all right there. So, you know, what a phenomenal program Ohio State has put together there in the Big Ten. Of course, that's not the first place you think of to produce professional golf, but hey, man, right in the backyard, a Buckeye through and through. Love to see it.
Am I a bad person for rooting against a player I love in Ludvig, even though I have no action on the Big Swede this week? The 1 week we don't play the big sweet here, Jensen, now all of a sudden he's 200 par through two. We'll keep updating those numbers as they change. But again, much more to get to when we come back to begin hour number two. We'll get back to the NBA, NHL, a lot of guests coming up. It is VSiN by the Books.